Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we're back.
Yeah, baby.
We are not in a galaxy far, far away. We are actually coming from you from the basement of the TVA.
Yeah.
Here for episode 98 of 14,605 and counting.
We were
And
gonna
we are going to
rock.
touch on episode one, season premiere, or season premiere of season two of Loki.
Yes. Now, I think I got this one in before you did.
You did. I had a, So that the episodes premiere on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. It was Thursday morning, wasn't it?
No, it's Thursday at night at
That's
9,
right. Yes, it was 6:30.
which you're probably gonna always get them in before me because I open the studio the next morning. It involves me waking up at 3 a.m.
Man,
and leaving at 4.
to hell with that.
So yeah, this guy went to bed Thursday night.
Yeah, I bet.
So now the roles are flipped. So I used to always watch Ahsoka before you. So because you had like softball and everything
Tuesdays, yeah.
Tuesday nights. Yeah, so
Which
now it's flipped. You're pr
we're not done yet. We have playoffs starting. 12-2 rolling into the
Oh,
playoffs.
wow. There you go.
Rolling in hot.
So yeah, Friday mornings I open the studio. So yeah, 10 o'clock bedtime, basically, if I watch it at 9.
Yeah.
It like I went to bed at like 8-ish
Yeah, waking up that early, I
Friday,
imagine so.
and I felt great. But that 2 hours difference, like. And then, I'll watch the show and I'll be all hyped and excited, so I won't go to bed right away.
Right.
So yeah, it's probably always going to work out that way. I'm probably always going to watch it at some point on Friday.
Now, that being said, I usually get to watch these shows once before
Yeah.
doing our show, doing our podcast. I watched it three times before you watched it once, I think,
Yeah.
because as you'll see, this shit was straight fire in my eyes.
Wow, this shit was straight fire.
Fire.
We're coming out hot with
We are.
the language here.
Hey, show is
Whoa.
not
Put the old E symbol by this podcast episode there,
the children.
Apple.
That's
Aren't you? Whoa, there we go. All
and
right.
as I mentioned in our previous episode, I had time to construct my notes a little better. And got some talking points, and as I mentioned, a hot take.
Right. So we pick up kind of where we left off season one
Immediately.
immediately. Yeah, Sylvie kicks Loki to the time door, and from that point we've had some multiversal things going on in the MCU, with Doctor Strange and Kang and all this other stuff. So we had some multiversal things that we've seen.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's happened, in the point in time that we're looking at in this show, if that makes sense.
Time does not
Right.
work the same in the TVA.
Right. Right. So, we've seen things going on, but that doesn't mean, right. Yeah, time is wacky in the TVA.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where we're at. We're picking up right where we left off.
And right where we left off, the first thing we see is Kang's, well, He Who Remains, Mm-hmm. But we know him as Kang. Kang's face etched in stone. We're panning away from it, right?
Yep.
I had, now I, like I said, I watched this a few times, but that first time I watched it, when they show his head and it zooms out and you see those yellow cars flying behind his head, it made me think of a fishbowl, fish tank. Like you got that little stone statue in your fish tank and the fish are swimming behind it.
I've never had a fish tank, but yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
That was some, for me, that was some immediate symbolism. Like TVA is in its own little like bubble, like a little fish tank.
Oh, check you out.
Yeah. Look out.
Uh-huh. Check you out.
And we get some throughout the episode. They kind of lay a groundwork of rules for time. And we'll get to those, but that's another important thing that kind of happens throughout this episode.
Yeah.
Loki's running. He's running from Mobius. He's running from B-15. All these hunters. And
who don't know at the beginning of the episode, who don't know who he is.
Right. Which is interesting because at the end of season one, if I remember correctly, we had the thought that there was maybe another timeline.
Yes.
In the TVA.
That's what we were TVA. Led, I think, to believe.
Yes.
Is that this is an alternate timeline that she kicked him through.
Right.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden she stabs him. She stabs He Who Remains. He's like, see you soon.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now we don't know what's going on. There's all these branch timelines, chaos.
Right.
You know? Turns out that wasn't the case.
Right.
And so, he doesn't find that out right away.
Right. So right away, he's like, you know, running and then he's like kind of zapping through. How would you describe that? It's like being pulled apart and
time
like,
slipping.
This is, yes, I mean that's what it's
what they call
termed it.
It.
But like, yeah, but like, how would you describe that to someone who's listening?
So
and hasn't seen it.
It looks weird. Like think of it this way: you're just standing there, and right like in the center of your being. Like pick a point that from head to toe, wide and depth, the center of your being, place a point there. And just think that you see somebody and then all of a sudden this little like hole opens up inside of them and a fish hook grabs them and pulls them through that hole. And they just kind of like yank through it all. Like your whole body just gets pulled through that hole. And then when you come back, you just kind of get pushed back out the same way you came. And you're just there again. That's what I would describe it as.
Wow.
I would probably go so far as to say if you would ever witness it happening, if a black hole were to ever open up at your core and your body were sucked into it, was sucked into it.
You know what? I like that. Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
That's, yes. My mind now... Yes, I would definitely a black hole in the center of your body.
Yeah. Now, if you weren't aware of how a black hole works, I think the fish hook still works because it's like that's basically what the black hole would do is it would just grab you at a point and just yank you through it. And you would just all of a sudden collapse into a dot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's kind of what's going on with Loki. So in the opening of the episode where he's running away. He kind of falls into like this car or
well he jumped over the edge.
Yeah.
He was like well, peace. He pulled an Anakin Skywalker in in Attack of the Clones.
And then he crashes into one of the offices or whatever where Casey is there.
Yeah. Hey Casey.
They're like, who the hell are you? Like, oh.
Now, not only did he do that, but he knocked that orange globe down that cracked the floor.
Right. That's how we find out what's going on here. Because then the whole black hole thing happens, the time slipping, as yes. we come to know it. And then he's back at that same place, and Casey knows him.
Yes.
And he sees the crack that's there.
Yeah.
That's where he puts one and the two together, like, oh, I was in the past.
Yes.
So he's in the same timeline. He's just slipping between the past and the present.
And without needing to do a whole lot of explanation through dialogue, they used that crack point to show, okay, he was in the past. And later they use Mobius writing the word skin in dust to show I'm in the future, because that word's still here.
Yeah.
So without having to go into a lot of dialogue to explain what's happening, they showed that Loki notices, hey, that was there before and I'm here. So they did a really nice job with that, setting those like points of reference. Like, Loki went to the past and he went to the future in the TVA,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Another point to notice, when he was in that yellow car, they ran into Kang's face and they put a big crack on his cheek. I think that's another piece of important symbolism.
Ooh, checked you out.
Yeah, he ran into it and just hit the cheek, and you see all the concrete crumbling off of it.
Yep.
I think that's a big piece of symbolism there too.
Wow. We're just switching roles here, huh? Why don't I pull out the old... All right.
You started using my pen, okay?
Well, if you listen to our last Ahsoka episode, which was like a megasode of three episodes we talked about,
mm-hmm.
I talked about how I took good old pen and paper notes here. You know, so pulling a hot take Jake there.
Yeah. What's up with that?
But now you're pulling out the symbolism stuff.
That's right.
And you got
a lot more where that came from.
You got the 1,000 pages of notes, you know, since you watched it 8,000 times already.
Three.
I'm like, wow.
So we go into him jumping back and forth through time and trying to catch up to Mobius, talking with Casey. And we get to my favorite part of the whole episode. And this is where he's in the war room. And Mobius and B-15 are talking about, you know, hey, we're falling up. This whole place is falling apart. The TVA is doing the wrong stuff. We're pruning these timelines. We're killing lives. You know, this is not good. And General Dox and Judge Gamble and some sleeping dude, who obviously cannot be bothered to wake up for this, are talking about it. And you see Loki then in the past again, and he's seeing a whole different war room.
Yes.
And not only that, he gets a tape recording on the wall that starts out with that voice, "You were quite a marvel." You're like, who's he talking to? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And you back up and you hear Ravonna Renslayer's name.
Yeah.
And that is actually great, because that goes back to their comic book origin where she was like his love.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Loki goes, time slips right into the future, right next to Judge Gamble, who's like, oh, what's up? You know? And he takes the pruner and he hits the wall with it. And that tapestry just disappears, and you see behind it all the heads, the heads of Kang. And he says, "That's who stole your lives. That's who's coming back." And just like everyone's like, "What the?" They're like looking at this, these heads behind a wall. They're looking at the dead head of one of their timekeepers and the redlining of the branches, breaking of the sacred timeline. They're like, "What are we looking at here?" And Loki's just like, "That dude right there. There's your problem." That was an amazing point.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that he used the pruner to reveal it. Yeah, yes. that was kind of like a mind blowing moment. Like, that is very clever.
Yes,
of not only Loki but of the producers and creators of the show.
Yes,
to actually have that method as the reveal. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
And who better to do it than the God of Mischief and Illusion? You know? Just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually you would see like, oh, you know, like rip the tapestry or whatever, like physically break it apart. But yeah, hey, here's the pruner. Boom. Like, oh man, that was a cool moment. That was a cool scene.
Very cool. I really absolutely loved that. That was amazing.
Yeah.
From there we get down to repairs and what was it? Adjustments?
RNA.
RNA.
Yeah, RNA, yeah.
And we get OB.
Or Boris.
Oh,
if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, you're pronouncing that correct.
Yeah.
And his is Kei Kwan. Is that his name? Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know how to pronounce the name. But steals it sounded the show. Like you sounded like you had it right. Yes.
Dude steals the show.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Now, don't know if you caught up on this, and I'm just Hawkeye in this whole episode, apparently. Immediately, because I think we've heard OB was going to be his name for a while, but we didn't hear Ouroboros. And when I saw the episode name and when I heard them say it, instinct, boom, because I'm a big mythology guy. And Ouroboros is an infinity type symbol, but it's a snake that swallows its tail and represents infinity and wholeness. It's like the world eater dragon, I think is what I'm going to look that up to be 100% sure. But he's basically infinity. And that's Ouroboros.
Wow. I did not know that.
Okay.
Whoa.
The world-eating snake. I'm going to look up. An ancient symbol depicting a serpent or dragon eating its own tail. Yeah. Yeah. So, that right there. And it has ties to Jormung. Hang on. I want to make sure I pronounce this right because this is Norse mythology. There it is. The Midgard serpent or world serpent. Jormungandr in Norse mythology. So that's even more important to Loki because that's his basis of godliness. And that's the world serpent, the start and the end. Oh, damn. And as I'm reading this, Jormungandr is said to be the middle child of the trickster god Loki and the giantess Angerboa. So in Norse mythology, Jormungandr, the world-eating serpent, Ouroboros, is Loki's son. Wow. You still with me?
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. And like I said, And like I said, I had to look some of it up to confirm my reaction, but my reaction was Ouroboros, world-eating serpent, infinity. And there you go. There's a lot of depth to that character name.
You know what? It's my response to that. Since you're going to take all the hot take, and I mean the Hawkeye-ness. You know what? Yeah. How about that? Huh? Hey. How do you like that? I like them apples. Huh?
They're bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know, we have our strengths. You were talking about yours in our Ahsoka discussion. Yeah. you had one and I lost it just now. Not that I'm forgetting your strengths, but there was one and very much in particular something to do with how you research things. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Oh, it was true crime. It was your true crime, and
oh yeah, mafia. When we talked about Morgan Elsbeth's initiation. Yes.
That is a strength of yours. Mine is mythology. Ooh. When it comes to things like that. So, I love that character. It was just so quirky. Yeah. So, Mobius. How long has it been? You're my last visitor. Like, 300-400 years?
100, yeah, 300-400, you know. And yeah, I think that was that was really cool how they set up that scene with Loki time slipping.
Yes.
And what was the machine called? The
temporal aura extractor.
Yes. And him time slipping in the past. And like he goes to the past to meet OB. And he doesn't have one of those things. And it's like
he didn't have it in the present.
Yeah.
And then in the past he picked it up and was like, no, wait. It's right here.
Yeah.
And that was another point of them setting their time travel rules.
Yeah.
That okay, in the multiverse, if Loki were to have gone back in the past and said, "Hey, OB, get me one of these temporal aura extractors. I'll see you in the future." If he went back to his future, it wouldn't work. It would create another timeline. At least that's what we're led to believe is what the rules of time travel would do, right?
Correct.
But this is the TVA. And time works differently. So they're setting the rules that Loki can go to the past, to the future, present to future, back and forth, along the same timeline, because the timeline of the TVA has no branches.
Right. And that would be important. That's kind of like how we would think like most traditional timeline time traveling movies, shows, or whatever would do.
Right.
Like if you affect the past, it affects the future in that same timeline.
Yeah. And there's a Stephen King book. I'm going to blank on the name of it because it's a very specific date, but the very specific date is the death of JFK. And in the book, keep this short, the main character knows a guy who owns like a burger joint, but it's in a trailer. Mm-hmm. And in his trailer is a door that goes back in time. And he can go through that door, buy his meat for the day for like pennies, bring it to the future. It's still good quality and he can make his burgers and he makes bank because he doesn't have to buy meat at this day's prices. You know what I mean? So it's like this weird thing that he's doing, but he realizes that when he goes through that door, does whatever he does, if he goes back through it to the future, it like it's a reset button. Whatever he did in the past won't have counted. So he suggests, because he's old now, to this main character, I want you to go back in time. And I think when he goes back, it's like 3 or 4 years before the events of JFK's death. He says, I want you to go back in time. I want you to stay there, and I want you to stop the assassination of JFK. So like the whole book is about that. And he goes back to the, I think he goes back to the future through the door, and everything's completely changed. Oh, that's what it was. If he goes back to the future, it's fine. Like the events will have changed. But if he goes back through the door to the past again, it's a reset button. That's what it was. So after he does what he's supposed to, he goes to the future and the world is like shit. So he goes back through and resets it like, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. But that played on the premise of if you change the past, it affects your future, not another branch. You know what I mean?
Right, yes.
So that's where you would, like you said, most movies and things like that will go on that single timeline thought.
Yep.
But the way the MCU seems to be working is there's this multiverse of things that if you disrupt the past, you create a branch timeline.
Yeah, their premise is basically what happened has happened. Right? If you go back, yeah, you create another branch. If you change shit, you create another branch.
Yep. And if you go to the future, you go to a branched future, not yours.
Right.
So, which is very interesting, especially with how Endgame played out, where they ended up going back to their future, or at least were led to believe they did.
Ooh.
That's another thing. We don't... did they? Or did they go to the future they wanted to see because they changed things? Or was the quantum, their quantum bands and how that worked, did it? Anyway, I don't know. That's, I think that's a little much, but the point is the TVA, you can apparently go to the past and come back to the same future.
Yes.
And make changes.
The same present.
Correct.
Right, yeah, the same present.
The same present.
Yeah.
So we have not yet seen Jonathan Majors in the skin, but we've heard his voice, we've seen his face,
yep,
and his impact, and it's crazy already.
Yep. And we're apparently going to get Victor Timely.
Yes.
All right. Because that tease in the post-creds in what movie? What movie was it?
One
of the movies. We got that post-cred.
Was it Multiverse of Madness?
It might have been, yeah. It might have been Multiverse.
No, it was Quantumania.
One of them.
I think it was. But yeah, you're right. One of them.
They've all been kind of running together now. We're in one big story.
Yes. Right. On the time slipping, I did another dive on this. And this wasn't because I was looking for something that I didn't know. There's a Doctor Doom comic series out there. It's 10 issues.
Oh boy.
From 2020.
Mike, if you're listening to it, you know, keep your heart on in your pants, buddy.
Oh, is he a big Doom fan?
Yeah, well, keep it in your pants, Junior. Yeah. You know how I am about mutants?
Yeah. Oh God.
That's how he is about Doctor Doom, maybe times two.
Oh God. Okay. I'll keep that in mind as I talk about Doom anytime I do.
Yeah.
This one in particular, I'm not trying to spoil anything. If you haven't read it, it's worth a read. It's pretty good. But Doom is basically, I think he's trying to, he ends up helping Reed Richards because somebody opened a black hole on the other side of the moon. and they're trying to use this device to monitor it or control it or whatever. And there's a whole story around it. But during the events of the series, Kang appears a bunch of times. And what he does is Doom's sitting there like eating dinner, and then Kang appears and he's like, "Where am I?" And he's like, "I grow tired of your appearances, Kang." And he's like, "Oh, I see that constellation still present. So I'm in the 21st century. Okay, not the 27th. I'm between the 20th and the 27th century. Okay, good." So, and then he'll just disappear. And Doom's like, "The hell, dude." And then he just pops up again. Like he just like comes out of nowhere and has a conversation with Doom and then disappears again. Because he's time slipping.
Yeah.
And he's connected to Doom somehow because of it. So Kang time slips because he time travels so much that his body has gotten like quantumly, it was called quantum entanglement, I think they called it in the series. So he's got like quantum entanglement going on, and he just all of a sudden will just and reappear somewhere else in time. I think that's kind of what Loki's doing. He's got this time slipping thing going on. So they're showing Loki do it inside the TVA, which, as you see OB say, is that's impossible. So I think that's another element that's going to play heavily on how they're able to eventually defeat Kang, whether it's in Kang Dynasty or a version of him in this show, whatever. So the cracked cheek of Kang and the time slipping are two pieces that I think are really good foreshadowing. I'm calling them foreshadowing.
Ooh. Ooh, here we go.
Yeah. So hopefully that was good. That was good for you, Mike.
I'm sure he loved it.
Good.
anything Doom, yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna say I'm like a huge Doom fan. Like, I'm not gonna step into that arena. But everything I've read and everything I've done that has involved Doom, I've enjoyed. Especially like New Secret Wars. Both Secret Wars have been really good. The New Secret Wars with he's God Emperor Doom in that. That one's good. That one's really good. Yeah, so they get this temporal aura extractor. And the idea is to shoot it into the loom. And then when it's done, Loki hits this. He prunes himself and erases all his other variants. That's crazy. That's the idea, right?
Something like that, I guess.
That whole sequence was awesome, by the way, with Mobius.
That suit just made me giggle.
Me too.
There's a crack in it, and, you know, OB just, you know, duct tapes it.
Yep.
All right, you're good to go. Good.
Hey, get ready to see hoofing like you've never seen before. Okay. That was great.
And then Mobius is just stuck on, like, his skin potentially being ripped off.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even through this episode, there were a couple points where Mobius and Loki had, like, little arguments. And they were hilarious.
Yes.
Like it looks horrible. Really, it looked that bad? Well, I was lying to you. You said it didn't look bad. And they're like, "What do you think?" And there's this other person in the elevator.
Like, Owen Wilson is, he was a terrific addition of, like, mainstream, okay, quote unquote, mainstream, well-known actors,
yes,
and actresses that have appeared in the MCU.
Yeah.
I think he's probably one of the top, one of the MVPs in that arena.
Yeah. And you know what's really funny is when I watched this episode that night, Donovan wanted to watch Cars. He loves that movie. And he just was, you know, really feeling it. Got a haircut. He goes to the place he goes to, has a Lightning McQueen car that he can sit in while they're cutting his hair, and he wanted to watch the movie because he's sitting in Lightning, gotta watch Cars, you know. The voice of Lightning McQueen is Owen Wilson.
Oh.
So I got a double dose of Owen Wilson that day, two different sources.
Nice.
Yeah. I liked that OB made the comment of, well, I don't usually come down to the temporal loom. Miss Minutes usually handles it. That was crazy.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. And there, I think one of the things that really attracts me to this show is the underlying, like, doom and darkness of it. Like, the klaxon warning blaring when Mobius is going out to the loom. Just the underlying darkness of Miss Minutes. Like, she's this happy, smiley thing, but then it's like, if you peel that layer back, it's like, what the hell is behind
she's
there?
She's like, yeah, you can't trust her.
Yeah.
And Loki made that point because, like, yeah, she was like, he was like, yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
When we went to He Who Remains' his lair or castle, whatever the hell you call that place.
Yeah.
Right. And she just always has that underlying, like, you should be terrified of
yeah. Right. I want to know her.
Like, origin. If you saw, like, a clock hologram just appear out of nowhere and just follows you everywhere, like, that would just be terrifying.
I have a feeling that when we see Victor Timely, that will be our Miss Minutes origin.
Ooh.
I have a feeling that that's where we're going to see her come from and, like, her true dark form. Because if there's something that I, like, this is something of mine that I've never been a fan of clowns. Like, they creep me out.
Oh.
But I found as I got older, it's not the of the clown. It's the fake mask, the painted smile, the, like, I'm happy all the time. Like, no, you're not, you know, that. And I get that from Miss Minutes. She's got this, like, smile and happy face. And it's like, that's a front. What's wrong with you, really? Like, what's back there, really? Like, that kind of stuff just creeps me out.
So you're not a fan of it.
I'm actually fine with it because I'm a Stephen King fan.
You're a big Stephen King guy, yes.
Big
yes,
Stephen King guy. From a long all the way back to when I was like 14, 15 when I read It, The Stand, all those books. Like, I've probably read like 95% of his content. It's very good. The book is very good. The new movies, part one was really good. Part two wasn't as good. Terrifying. Pennywise is terrifying. But when you get behind the point, it's like it's not just that it's a clown. It's
an entity.
An entity.
Yeah.
Using a clown as its face.
Yeah.
So therefore.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty much the point I'm making is that there's something back there. It's like, no, I'm not smiling and laughing at you, dude. Something back there, and I don't like it. but I get that feeling from Miss Minutes too. Like, I'm intrigued and just like, I want to know. Like, this is cool, but you're gonna terrify the hell out of me when I find out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for it. Did you see when they got to the loom? There was that red and white tape border with the message on the floor.
Yeah.
Did you read that or did you pause and read it?
I didn't pause and read it, no.
Good, I wrote it down. You want to know what it said?
What?
temporal radiation levels escalate exponentially beyond this threshold. Likelihood of spaghettification increases 7,000%. Proceed with caution.
Ooh.
That imagery of that tape line.
Spaghettification.
Yes. You turn in, you just unravel. I love that word.
Yes.
Unravels.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. That imagery of the tape line with a door, it just, we have an instrument in our labs. It's called NMR. And it's basically like an MRI, but it's not like MRI does body imaging and NMR does like chemical structure.
Yeah.
And there's a line whenever you go into a lab with one, there's a line on the floor that if you cross it, you're potentially exposed to more radiation. But if you take a cell phone, a credit card, anything magnetic past that line, it's going to lose its form. So your credit card will be completely just, nope, no good anymore. And that's what it reminded me of. It's like, oh, you go past that line, you might want to leave your keys, your phone.
So it just loses its like properties. It doesn't just like disintegrate or something.
Right. Yeah. It just, the magnetic strip has like a.
Yeah. Because if it were like to disintegrate or something, like I would be fired like the first day, because that's all I would do is just throw credit cards across the line just to watch it, you know, just like.
Right. Yeah. No, it just.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Decodes the magnetic strip.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just would love it. Just like throw a cell phone across it.
Yeah. It's just not, because it's such a strong magnetic field in there. And that's the point, because it's orienting molecules a certain way to be analyzed, that like it's just going to reorient that magnetic strip. And it's like, oh, my credit card doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So that, seeing that reminded me of that kind of thing. Like, oh, yeah. I probably want to leave some stuff behind when I cross this line. That room was really cool. That loom was really cool.
Yes, very the imagery and the colors and the very, very cool.
And I didn't pick up on the word loom quite the way I should have until they showed it. It's all threads feeding into one point that's threading the timeline together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was really cool to see. I really loved that they gave us that. Usually you talk about this like big nebulous thing and it's like you don't see it, or they give you a glimpse of it, or it doesn't live up to what they're talking about. This lived up to everything.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. The device was cool too. I love how like 70s everything is.
Yeah. We talked about that season one.
Yeah.
Like how it kind of looked like kind of futuristic, but retro at the same time.
Right.
Like, yeah, we talked about that season one. I remember.
And I love that they kept it.
Here's my thing. My question.
Mm-hmm.
So Loki had to prune himself.
Yeah.
Right. When he got the signal that Mobius, you know, did what he had to do, he'll get the green light. And the green light, after green light, you have to prune yourself. Right.
Yeah.
In a certain amount of time. So my question was like, so they're laying this plan out before Loki time slips again. My question was like, why didn't they kind of like, oh, and you know what? He couldn't have, because he went back to the, well, no, he went to the future.
Yeah.
At that point, because he was going to the past, because of like, how was he going to find a pruner anyway?
Yeah.
If he time slipped, Like, because he know he was time slipping. So, like, so are they going on the hope that he won't time slip? Because I was thinking in my head, like, well, they're laying out this plan. Like, what if he time slips? And, oh, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm like, why didn't they lay out a plan? But they couldn't have because that was in the past. But he went to the future.
Right.
So, never mind.
He had something that bothered me was he held up the pruner. And then he time slipped and he dropped it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yes. So,
and I'm like, how did he time slip with the device in his hand, but not the pruner?
Yeah.
But if you look, and I did, he's holding the device close to his chest. He's holding the pruner over his head. And when it happens, like, if you were to react or flinch, if you're holding something close to your chest, you're most likely going to hold on to it if you're holding it against you. But he was holding that over his head. So his body's reaction was probably to open his hand and flail.
Yeah. Because
so
apparently he'd
go of it.
Apparently that time slipping is kind of painful, apparently.
Yeah.
So.
But he held on to the device. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
It's a plot point. He needs that. He can find another pruner, but he needs that.
Yeah.
You know. But he didn't even prune himself, or did he?
Or yeah, we don't know that.
I think he pruned himself, which we'll find out. I'm sure. Yeah. But I want to know who the hell was on the phone.
Yeah.
I think someone was calling him.
Yeah, someone was like, yeah.
I,
but then he sees Sylvie.
Yes.
Oh, where the hell you been?
I think we're going to get some trippy time path crossing memento level crap here. You know, he's probably going to oh no, wait, I am here. I have to go prune myself or it's not going to happen kind of thing.
Just had a little sip of the bubbly.
There's a lot going on here.
There is. But it's a good open.
Yes. Now there were three murals on the wall. Did you notice those?
No, I didn't.
So when Loki and Mobius are talking before they go to the elevator, he points to the wall and there's a mural of figures. And it was, I think it was referring to the multiversal war between the Kangs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look right, I think it's in the credits. They show all three of them. There's three murals, the tall, long paintings or stone etchings or done in tile. The first one shows a bunch of figures like they're in battle. I think that's the Kang, the battle of the Kang battle. Okay. Next to it is the three timekeepers standing around a tree and they're pruning branches. And the third one is the three timekeepers hovering next to each other like they're the Time Lords. So I think that's the foundation of the TVA.
It's history. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That makes sense.
So I thought that was pretty neat. When he flashes to the future and he's running around and everything seems to be falling apart at the TVA, there's an announcement and it says, all personnel report to your nearest time door evacuation point. So to me, that sounds like maybe, oh, wow, I just had a moment. I just had a thought. You know how they kept saying that Mobius's mind was wiped and Renslayer's and everyone else's minds were wiped?
Yep.
What if when they get to the end of time in the TVA and they have to go through these time door evacuation points, they go back all the way to the beginning of the TVA and their mind is wiped, so they forget that they went back to the start. And they just relive a time loop.
That's some sinister stuff right there.
Right.
Wow.
I think that's, I just thought of that. Like, I was just thinking, you know, if they go back through the time door, where the hell are they going? Back to the beginning so they can go back to their job when they first started.
Oh, that's some sinister stuff.
Yeah. I'm laying it on thick, aren't I?
That's, whew. Man, you were Hawkeye-ing it this episode.
Well, I got two more things for you.
Uh-oh.
The post-credit scene where Sylvie ends up 1982, Broxton, Oklahoma, branched timeline. Said that underneath Broxton, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the McDonald's and looks like she's like, oh, I could see myself settling down with like a normal life here, right?
Yeah.
Broxton, Oklahoma is no mistake. In the Jason Aaron run of Thor, Thor settles New Asgard in Broxton, Oklahoma.
Oh.
Yes, that's where he created New Asgard. And in that run, when Jane Foster becomes the Mighty Thor, she has a serious run-in. I think Thor does also. I think it starts with Thor and continues to Jane, with none other than Dario Agger of Roxxon. Because Roxxon, in that whole series, Jane tries to fight him, and he's just lawyered up. He's just like, here's 15 lawyers and millions of dollars in lawsuits, and you're going to be stuck in paperwork because you touched me. So what are you going to do about it? Nothing? Cool. Okay, I'm going to build a new base for Roxxon in Broxton, Oklahoma, and I'm going to destroy this town just to spite you. So this is the second time this show has brought a tie to Roxxon,
mm-hmm.
which I think is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, I have read that comic series, so when I saw Broxton, Oklahoma, I was like, Roxxon, and I had to go right back to my Marvel Unlimited app to pull it up, and I was like, yep, there it is.
Nice.
And my final thing for you,
uh-oh,
is my hot take.
I've been waiting on this. You said you had a hot take.
Yeah, I've been kind of steamrolling this episode, and I apologize for that.
No, you're good.
I mean, I don't want to take away from any points you had to make either. I mean,
no, you're good.
Okay.
Like I said, I only watched it once. Like, you got it. But let me hear this hot take though.
So whether this is in the show or Kang Dynasty way down the line, I think they are going to use this temporal aura extractor to prune and remove all the Kang variants down to one. I think Mobius and Loki, or whoever is a part of it, is going to slap that thing, is going to be with one Kang, with that like device, that like timer device. They're going to pop the aura extractor in there and shoot it into the loom. And when it turns green, they're going to push it into Kang's chest and hit him with the pruner. And it's going to prune him from the timeline completely and whipcord him, the one Kang, boom, right there. And that's how they finish him off. That's my hot take.
So you're saying they introduced here the weapon that's just gonna tie everything up.
Yeah.
For Kang, anyway.
Yes. Because if it worked for Loki, if it ends up working for him, and he's the one remaining, and he can I mean, it looks like he's going to time slip anyway. It seems like he's still going to kind of do it from the images we've seen. We haven't, like, he's in front of the wacky inflatable guy and he's time slipping. It's like, okay, we haven't seen that happen yet. So unless they're putting fake stuff out there.
Which they have been known to do.
But. And maybe they use that imagery to be like, hey, here's all these Lokis in the timeline. We're going to show them all get pruned. And they zip away like that because they're pruned away or something. I don't know. But I just have a strong feeling that if that works for Loki and he's the one true Loki then, and there's no more of him in the timeline, it could work for Kang. Maybe Kang uses it to remove his future selves or something. That's why he has it. I don't know.
Did they show what they did with that temporal aural loom?
What they did with it? Like,
yeah.
At the end of the episode?
Afterwards?
No. Yeah. Because I think the episode just ended.
Okay.
He just said, we have to find Sylvie, and they got up. So I don't know if they just left it out there. They might have just left it out there.
Okay.
Which, I mean, even better.
All right. All right. So we're going to put that in the hot take vault here.
Yeah.
Which we've done with a lot of hot takes in this show.
Yes.
And we've had some hits. We have some of our hot takes hit.
Not many. That's okay.
And I mean, but that's the point of this show.
Yeah.
Have fun, right? It is.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, man. Man, I want it. Anyway.
I'm you wanted a mutant. Back to my,
I want a mutant. I'm not going to go back to my Secret Invasion hot takes, but. It's fine.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I feel your frustration, and I find it humorous that there's been things that I've wanted to see that have come to fruition and you still have not yet gotten a mutant.
No. Yeah, no. Well, technically I have gotten a mutant, but
yes.
Not the ones. I mean, not technically, yes, I have gotten a mutant.
Yes. But not the ones you were looking for, though.
Not the ones I was looking for, no.
Yeah. There was something I came across, like it was like a Facebook thing with an article, and it was, I didn't even read it. The title of it was like Mutant Easter Egg, and it had to do with Cerebro. And
I didn't, that article, but I scrolled past it because I haven't watched that. I didn't watch the episode at that point.
Yet. Okay. It was,
but it was, I mean, it made it what, Cerebro?
It said something like that the temporal loom looked like
Cerebro. I was going to say, like, the only thing that I could think of is, like, maybe the temporal loom.
Yeah.
Is similar-ish.
It's the bridge out into the giant, like, cavernous room.
But.
That was it. I was like,
a stretch.
I thought that was a big stretch, too.
That is a stretch.
Yeah. Somebody's really trying.
I have to look at that article and see it.
That was all it said.
Cerebro? Ugh.
Yeah, that was all it was about. I was like, ooh, mutant Easter egg. I didn't catch that. Ryan's going to be excited.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either. Yeah, I saw it before I watched the episode, so I kind of had it in the back of my mind, like, oh, let me look for, or let me stay perked up for, like, a mutant reference.
Yeah.
And I didn't see one in the episode. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it.
And I did pop it open just to, like, scan it. I didn't read it in depth. I was just like, scroll down. I saw the word Cerebro. And I was like, what? No. No.
So.
I feel like after watching Secret Invasion, this is like redeemed me. or that they've redeemed themselves.
Well, I mean, Loki was my favorite MCU show. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, they're coming out hot.
Yeah.
Picking up right where they left off.
I hope they can keep the pace. Keep the energy. There's bound to be slow spots here and there, but yeah, I just hope, really hope they keep the heat.
All right, I just looked at this Cerebro thing because I just they're saying that the entrance of the entrance of the temporal core is similar to the doors of Cerebro, the entrance.
Oh, really? That was what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I took it as the bridge.
Yeah, they're saying that the entrance, the doors are similar.
Oh.
To the entrance of Cerebro. Man, people have a lot of time on their hands, bro. Man.
Well, you're saying that as I just just had all this content that I was spewing out.
But this is like, you're looking at the freaking door.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that kind of sort of, hey, I want mutants just as much as the next man, but like, you know.
Right.
That's a bit of a stretch for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't have anything else, surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah.
About the show, obviously. Season one, Loki was my favorite series. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go as to how Victor, I'm very much interested in how Victor Timely's going to be involved in this.
Same.
Yeah. That's probably my number one thing or excitement level. It's like, all right, how's Victor Timely going to tie into this?
Yeah.
And then next episode, I want to see the nostalgia that they bring in with the McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like the whole quarter pounder and all that good stuff. I'm like, oh man, that's awesome.
I've been seeing ads, like Facebook ads for the TVA, and they've been using the McDonald's ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And I'm like, what the hell's the point? And then I was like, oh, that's right. They go to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm looking at my notes. Speaking of creepy Miss Minutes stuff,
mm-hmm.
In the credits, because I watched it through at least once, because they usually place a lot of stuff in there that's pertinent to like the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point it flashes a poster with Miss Minutes on it, and it says, you see like the top half of the poster and then you see the bottom half. Okay. And the top half shows Miss Minutes from like, well, I say the waist up, but it's like the mouth, cause she's just like a clock, but like right around the mouth level up, and over her head, it says behave. And then it cuts to the bottom half and it shows her legs, and there's a person laying on the ground. And she's got one foot on the ground and one foot on the person. And underneath it says, or get your clock cleaned. I was
another reason. Not to, yeah.
there's the darkness.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that, you know, one other thing, I just thought of this, because you have Kang and you have Ravona, Renslayer, and he says, I would be honored to lead with you. Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the TVA has a whole three Time Lords thing. And that war room had three points to the table. It was a triangle, right?
Yep.
And at one point was General Dox. At one point was Judge Gamble. And the other point was that sleeping dude.
Yeah.
Or the empty chair where they were talking to B-15. What if the three heads of the TVA are Kang, Renslayer, and Miss Minutes? And
I mean,
Kang is Kang. So you basically had a general who led the hunters. You had a judge, and you had a doing things by the record. Like, we're going to do this by the record, like timekeeping. So you have Miss Minutes keeping time, Renslayer being the judge, and Kang being the general.
I mean, that's totally possible.
Yeah.
I dig it. So a lot of stuff that we're gonna got going, yeah, that we're gonna have going on today in this show.
And who knows? None of it could happen. But I got a good feeling. I usually have a good feeling, and they're usually bad.
Well, yeah, I think that the Renslayer angle is going to be important, and probably that leads to that credence because of the comic book tie.
Yeah.
The tie to the comics. So, yeah, I think at least probably Renslayer and Kang are going to be in two of those seats.
Yeah.
So.
But we just have no idea where Miss Minutes comes in, because she's so prominent, though.
Yeah.
But, and the interesting thing, too, being Renslayer had no idea who He Who Remains was. And, like, packed her shit up to go find him once Loki made it clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's interesting, too. She had her mind wiped. Anyway.
Interesting.
That's, well, I think that's all for us. For me, at least.
Yeah. Season 2 coming in hot.
Yes.
And we got to set our calendars for Thursdays now. Well, Fridays for me.
Yes. And we'll see what happens. I'm very much looking forward to this next episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, is the count 6 or 8?
I think it's 6.
Okay. That's what season 1 was, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, that about wraps it up. Thanks for listening. Mike, hopefully you've recovered. And for Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake, and
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.